else have you done in this city?
Things, amen. Let's continue to sing and worship the Lord this morning.
Stars, they
Let's get around and shake someone's hand this morning.
Let us continue to praise our Lord and Savior, singing "Praise Him, Praise Him," page 106 in your handle, first and last verse.
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, this wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Guard His children, in His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, love of Hosanna's ring. Over the world victorious, power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, with His joyful song.
Let's continue by singing "Jesus is all the world to me," page 510.
All the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him I would fall. When I am sad, to Him I go. No other one is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him I know I'm right, he watches over me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, I want no better friend. I trust him now, trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend.
And let's end by singing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, page 435.
Church. We're so happy you guys decided to worship with us today. I didn't see any first-time friends or guests this morning getting around and talking to anybody, but if there's someone I missed, if it's your first time this morning, if you'll raise your hand, our guys in the back will get you a gift. I don't see anybody, guys, so I think we're good. We're going to get started with a word of prayer, and then preacher's got an announcement for you. But let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, to be able to come into your house. Lord, we thank you for the good time we already had in Sunday school this morning, Lord, studying your word. We pray that this morning you would be honored and glorified through everything done in the service. We pray for preacher that you'd fill him with your spirit and your power. Lord, we pray that we would be convicted by your word this morning. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
All right, you can be seated this morning. I would ask that if you are here with us this morning and you are a veteran, if you're a veteran, I would ask that you would stand this morning. Any of our veterans today, if you're, thank you, appreciate that. All right, so you see all those people there standing up, all the veterans. Now I ask those veterans to sit down, and I ask everybody else to stand up and give them a standing ovation for being real American heroes to us. Amen. Appreciate you all this morning. So we are the freest nation in the world in the history of mankind, and we're so thankful for all of you for serving our country. There's some that aren't here today. Brother Bill Salyer down in Florida, and we are grateful that he and Miss Linda are okay. Talked to them this week with the storms that were coming through that area. So praise the Lord for that. So we're going to have Sister Randy Sternscher come and sing for us this morning, but we are very appreciative of all of you men and women who serve and have served our country faithfully. What a blessing it is to know that as we had Veterans Day, that even here at Assurance Baptist Church, we have those folks in our church who God has certainly used. And so we're going to get Rob's picture up there on the wall, but we want to honor you that way. And I'm just so thankful for you. God bless.
Never
for that this morning. Choir, I do want to remind you, we have practice tonight at 4. Our practices start at 3:30 starting next week, so there was some question about that. But we do meet tonight at 4 o'clock for choir practice and rehearsal there. We're looking this morning, as we continue our series in this month of guarding our hearts and homes, at a topic that everybody loves, giving. And so we're looking at giving as a blessing, but, you know, I was thinking about giving, and a lot of people give their time and their attention and their money to other things, and we're looking at it in a joyful way this morning. Giving is positive, and we're looking at it that way, but I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about you, Brother Chuck, that, you know, people give, and they give their money to Hollywood Casino and never get it back. But then I was thinking, there's a reason why there's no gambling in the jungle, because there's a bunch of cheetahs. And so we... I'll finish. I'm finished. That was all I got today, Brother Chuck. I promise I won't do any more. We look this morning at this, that giving is a blessing. When we look at it positively, we understand that giving is truly a blessing from God. I was thinking about a few weeks ago, Brother Brandon and Sister Megan were going out of town, and they asked their 9-year-old neighbor, Mike, to look after their 3 dogs. And when they went to Mike and said, hey, Mike, we're going to give you the job description. We want you to feed the dogs, water the dogs, walk the dogs. We want you to play with the dogs. We want to make sure the dogs stay in our fence. And when they got finished with the job description, they said to Mike, now, how much do you think that's worth? And Mike said to them, well, I'll give you $10. You know, giving is all about your perspective and how joyful it is in the job or the thing that you are giving to. When we are giving to God, it is not negative, it's not burdensome, but it is a positive. We call it the grace of giving, that we are allowed to give to God, that we are allowed to give to the one who has given us life, who has given us life everlasting, and what a blessing that is. We understand that through the Bible that there are some positives and some blessings, and that because giving is a blessing, it helps to protect our hearts and our homes from using our money for the wrong things. Now, I will be quite honest with you. There is something being constructed in Englewood, Ohio, that's going to cause a stir in my wallet that I'm going to have to be very careful to guard my heart, my home, and my wallet. And it's called Dunkin' Donuts. And somebody said, Pastor, I know you like coffee. Well, I'm not going to Dunkin' Donuts for the coffee. You hear me? I'm going for the donuts. But I know this much. We have to guard ourselves. We have to be protected, and that it's a positive. And so I want you to see that I'm smiling. This isn't going to be painful. This is going to be good, and it's going to be right from the Word of God. If you'll find in your place 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, it appears on your screen. But when you find that, I want you to open your text and leave it there. I would ask, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's Word this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. Therefore, the Apostle Paul is writing here, and he says, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he is purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Father God, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the grace of giving, that we are allowed to be a part of your kingdom work. Father, I pray that we would be cheerful in these matters today. Lord, we ask that you would help us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reading and honoring of God's word. Please be seated. I want you to understand a few things about giving, specifically in this first portion about tithing. The tithe means 10 or 10%. And we do not pay tithes. It is semantics to some, but it's near and dear to my heart. You do not pay tithes to the church. You not pay tithes. You are giving your tithes under grace. We happily do this. 1 Corinthians 16 tells us this in verse 2, 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. The common treasury, the store in this day, is the church house. As God has prospered him, that is an amount that's proportionate to your income, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, taking all the context of this verse and of the text verse, understand that what we're looking at today is not the context necessarily of what Paul was saying, but the principles that remain. They are Old Testament and New Testament principles. Principles are different than rules because rules can change, but principles always remain the same. So we're looking at the principle today of the matter, and I want you to understand that because I don't want you to think that I'm taking this out of context. I'm pulling from this and using the principle of giving. Justin Martyr, in his apology in AD 150, said that in his day, this is early in the church, that the tithes were brought into the church and laid down there as an act of worship or as a form of giving to God, that they did this only on Sundays. We only receive tithes and offerings on Sundays. We give an opportunity in both services for those who are in the nursery or junior church or wherever they might be, but we do not receive them on Wednesdays. I suppose churches do that, and there's nothing wrong with it, but we decided that the Bible says that you lay it down the first day of the week, the new day of worship when Jesus arose on Sunday, and so that's why we do that. We don't receive offerings at revival or in different places or times. We do this one time a week. If you give online and you do it a different day, that's between you and the Lord. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying we as a church body, we only pass around these plates on Sunday. And on top of that, you generally don't hear me preach about this except for during this month of guarding our hearts and homes. I usually preach about it once a year. I may say something or I may be led from a certain verse in the Bible where I have to touch the topic because that's where God led my heart. But a full sermon, generally one time a year, not to beat you over the head with it, but so everybody can know. And there are people that are here this morning that have never heard this and have no idea what this means. So we look and understand that we're not paying the tithes, but that we are giving it because it's not the law. If you don't pay your tithe, God's not going to zap you dead. It's not work. It doesn't work like that. But it's an opportunity, giving is, and a grace that under grace we want to cheerfully give to God because God has been so good to us. Amen. Tithes predate the law. I have pastor friends who say, well, we don't tithe because it's under the law. Well, they don't know their Bible very well because the tithe predates the law. 400 years before the law was ever even thought of, Abraham paid tithes of all to Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem or Jerusalem and also the high priest of God there. So the tithe predates the law. So anyone who says that we don't have to pay the tithe because it's in the under the law, well, again, they haven't been studying very much because Hebrews 7 tells us this. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible is very clear. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, again, that's Jerusalem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham. Abraham is the patriarch. He's a great one, the hall of faith in the book of Hebrews. Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now watch what happens. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. He didn't have to, but because Abraham was blessed by this king, Abraham thought the proper response was to semi-give a thank you letter and a thank you for what had been done. He gave a tenth part of all, a tithe, and first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Melchizedek, many will say that that's a prefiguration of Christ, or that maybe it was Christ incarnate. I won't go that far, and I'll not argue with you about it, but I do know this, and we'll keep reading. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. I got some good news and some bad news for you. Abraham is a sinner just like you and I, but you're not better than Abraham. And the Bible says, how great is Abraham? And even he knew to pay the tithe, and let me take that back, to give the tithe. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, this is the priesthood. who received the office of the priesthood. Now he's talking, so those that were in the law, they continued it, have a commandment to take tithes. So 400 years before the law came, we were giving it. During the law, he says, they're commanded to take the tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Watch. But he whose descent is not counted from them receives tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. See, giving is a blessing. Verse 17. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Remember, Jesus Christ is not a priest in the line of the Aaronic priesthood. He's not a priest in the Mosaic law. He comes after the line of Melchizedek. Two offices. He's both king and priest, like Melchizedek. And so we give our tithe not because of a law, not because of obligation or duty, but out of a graceful heart towards the one who is able to bless us. Jesus confirms that we should be doing this in the New Testament in Matthew 23:23. People will say, well, he's talking to the Pharisees in this situation. He's talking to people who are following the law. But Jesus doesn't condemn. He only condemns their hypocrisy, not their tithing. He says this, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done and not to leave the other undone. He says you're supposed to be doing the tithing, but all the other stuff that you're doing is messed up. You think because you're tithing that you're blessed. I got news for you. If you're here and you're tithing, but you're not doing all the other stuff, that would be different than what we looked at in 2 Corinthians 9 with a cheerful heart and a good spirit. It is and should be a joy and not a burden to give to God, who sent his son to seek and to save that which was lost. Finances is something that you should have in good order as a Christian because that's good stewardship. It's required among stewards that a man be found faithful. And so, Christian, you ought to pay your bills. Christian, you ought not be late on these things. Christian, even when you're struggling in times of hardship, Christian, we need to remember that we always are giving our tithe because you've heard me say it before, not new to me, not fresh from me, but you've heard our rhyme. Tithing is a debt we owe, and giving is a seed we sow. Tithing is something that we do not because the church is asking you to, not because the pastor's asking you to, but because God has ordained that that is how the church functions and how the church will have enough to be a blessing to you. Now, you've heard me say it before. I'll say it again, that we at this church, we don't ask you for special offerings for this and for that. We believe that the tithes and offerings of the people are plenty. And at this point in 2022, from last year's point, we are up $100,000 in tithes and offerings standing here today because of the giving of God's people. You can give God praise. And it's the last time I checked that nobody was at the front door asking you for your credit card number or your W-2s. The last time I checked, no one's been pressuring you or walking behind you with the offering plate and saying, no, you need to put a little bit more in the plate. The last time I checked, it's from the giving of the people's heart and see what God is doing. And maybe you are not paying attention to what's going on at Assurance Baptist Church, but God is surely blessing us. Amen. We had another man saved this week out at the shelter house, a 19-year-old man that I believe that will show up to this place at some point in time that we're working on, a very respectful young man. And God is blessing, but you know, God is blessing because someone decided that because they're giving, we have opportunity because people over time, people have installed and put it in their minds that to give is the better than to receive. And that is what we're looking at today. We are given blessings under grace when we do it with the right heart. You understand what I'm saying? The prosperity gospel preachers and teachers, they got one thing right. That if you give of your time, your attention, your money, of your spiritual gifts, by the way, giving is a spiritual gift according to the book of Corinthians, that giving is something that is in us. Now listen to me. Not everybody has that as their top gift, but everybody through the Holy Spirit has it in them. My top gift is not mercy. If I see a dog on the side of the road with three legs that looks like it's starving, I'm probably not stopping to get it. Every spiritual test I've ever taken, they ask you similar questions. If you see a stray dog out there and it looks like it's homeless, would you pull over and pick it up? No. It doesn't mean I lack mercy. It just means it's not my highest of all my spiritual gifts. But listen, but it's in there somewhere. And a lot of times, that which we're not as good at, we have to get out of our comfort zone, and that's what actually makes us more spiritual, is when we get out of our comfort zone to do that which is harder. Some people say, well, I could never speak in public, but they do it when it comes time to pray, or they do it when it comes time to preach, or they do it when it comes time to lead in Christian manners. How? Because the Spirit of God overcomes them, and they're able to do it through the power of God, even though it's outside of their comfort zone. Oh, listen to me. Giving and tithing might seem to be outside of your comfort zone, but it's still what you're supposed to do. Amen. Let me give you this before I give you the points and we'll get out of here. Tithing is 10%, that proportion amount that we saw in 2 Corinthians. It says, lay aside and store. Every time you get paid, I'll simplify it as simple as I can. If you get paid on every Friday and you get paid $100, you lay aside $10 right away for God. You say, Pastor, we are struggling with our bills. We are struggling with things. I understand that. And I would say this to you. Then work and figure out how you can do it. Because you are never going to be as blessed as you could be. And we'll see that until you start to do it. Just listen. Lay aside that. And you may have to give up some things. But don't you want to be blessed by the God? See, what the prosperity gospel people got right is, it is absolutely a grace to give. Now, they think that you're going to get all this crazy stuff and boats and houses. Listen, I've been tithing for 20 years, and we still, me and Chandra, we still be looking at that money. It's a little funny sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? We'd be like, well, I don't know if we're going to make it this month. The kids might have to eat some things they don't want to eat this week. You know what I'm talking about? Syrup sandwiches or something like that. But we're not robbing God. But God always gets his, praise the Lord. You know, it's important, and you never have to worry about me. Miss Nancy and the counting team, they count all that. I don't know what nobody gives in this place. I don't want to know. Don't come to me. If you ever have to hand me your tithes, give it to me upside down, because I don't want to know what you give, because I don't want it to affect my heart about you, and I don't want you to think it affects my heart that, oh, I'm a big giver, so the pastor's giving us special privileges. Nope. Don't tell me. Don't want to know. Never looking. All I know is I trust God, and God keeps taking care of it. You see, it's very important that we understand that the tithe is 10%. It's non-negotiable. When you get paid, okay, so you get paid every 2 weeks. Guess what? On that week that you get paid, payday, you got a little money sign on your calendar, a little alert in your phone that says, today's payday, and I'm so excited, I'm getting paid. And then you have a little alert in there that says, okay, I'm setting this aside because this is God's. Well, and then if you really want to be above average as a Christian, and then you say, you know what? Maybe there's $3 or $4 in my budget this month that I could save on that Dunkin' Donuts, and I could put that towards mission, because people are getting saved all over this world if you've read our missions letters anytime lately. Maybe you'll say, oh, you know what? We understand that when the children are here on big days, and we've got several sick today, but if you were here last week and if you're going to be here next week, you're going to see that we got to do something in this auditorium. We've been here. We've been working on it. I asked Miss Michelle, one of our members in our church's realtor, to start looking at some things for us. Listen, there's something that's got to happen. You don't know this, but I know this, and I told the men, but we're having Easter at the Calumet Center in Drexel this year, because we ain't all going to fit in here. And Jeremy and Christy have had to sit outside of here the last couple of times, and so we're moving our Easter service off campus. Our Friend Day service, we've hit 200 several times now around that, and we're moving our Friend Day service to the Exhibition Center at the fairgrounds and having a disc golf tournament and a kids' fishing derby and all kinds of stuff out there. But it's necessary, but we don't want to have to do that. We want to be able to have a building big enough that we can be right here on our campus doing what we want to do. But guess what that takes? It takes money. And it doesn't take us to hold a fundraiser. It doesn't take us to have a car wash. It doesn't take for us to have a bake sale. It takes the money that's in your pockets that we give above to God cheerfully so that we can see God's work accomplished here on earth. So I want you to see, number one today, we give bountifully. We give bountifully, or big, for blessings. We give bountifully for blessings. I believe the tithe is just the starting point. But if you're able to do more, that you should give above that, and that you will see, you will get more rewards for giving bountifully. See, the principle of sowing and reaping that Galatians 6 talks about, Paul touches on there in 2 Corinthians, and he literally uses this word. He says, that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You're not as blessed as you want to be. You don't have all the things you want to do. Well, if you're giving sparingly, that's the context. If you're giving sparingly, don't be expecting that you're going to get big blessings from God. But then he says, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You've heard me tell the story, but I'm proud of my little pumpkin. When I was working at Bible Baptist Church in Wilmington, we had fall family days, and we would get pumpkins to decorate. And you know me and my affinity for plants or not. But I kept saying every year, I'm going to make these pumpkin seeds. I'm going to turn these pumpkin seeds into a pumpkin. And you know what I would do? I didn't just take one of those pumpkin seeds and plant it. I took an abundance of pumpkin seeds. And you know what happened? One faithful year, the conditions must have just been just right, and God must have just blessed me sowing bountifully. And one time, the next year, I walked out there, and I had a little pumpkin. And it was like Jonah and his gourd, and I loved that pumpkin. And I laid my little head on it, and the other staff guys made fun of me, and I said, I'm taking my pumpkin home. I've sowed bountifully to get this pumpkin, and I took that little pumpkin home, and I loved that little pumpkin. And you know what happened? When that pumpkin died, I planted seeds in my garden at my house, and my wife can attest to this, and the next year, I had more pumpkins at my own house. My pumpkin kept on producing blessings, and I loved that little pumpkin. And his little pumpkin sons that are back there in Wilmington, Ohio, I hope it's bountifully blessing those new homeowners. You know, God says when we give bountifully or big, we see big blessings. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. My wife said, honey, please don't say it this morning, because sometimes when I'm preaching on this, I say, and she's going to hate it, but I say, some of y'all showed up this morning in stolen cars, stolen clothes. Some of y'all came up in here high rolling. Y'all got them ox jacks and them USBs and them new cars sitting on 24s with spinning rims, but you've been robbing God. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. That ain't me talking. That's the Lord. Get mad at me if you want. That's God's word. Yeah, that's why some of y'all don't want to read the minor prophets. You're trying to skip through Malachi, right to Matthew. We don't want to see that. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Context, he's speaking of Israel, but the principle remains the same. Bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Watch this, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, when you give bountifully, I'll bless you so big that you won't even be able to receive it. It'd be so much coming in. Now, I don't want to say this pridefully, but I want to say this honestly. In my life, I'm not going to give you all the examples, but in my life, I have seen God do this where all of a sudden I was supposed to buy my older son a car and he just got a free car. Some people in our life just said, you know what? We have a car we want to give away. His car's nicer than mine. Brother Anthony said, why didn't you give him your car and take his? I was like, well, I felt like, you know, God was giving bountifully, like that would be some kind of curse if I was like, nah, son, this is the car they wanted to give you, but I want your car instead. So I gave it to him. He's driving around in a nice car. My first car was raggedy. A Buick Century 87. The best feature was a map light. Didn't nobody use no map in 2002. We have MapQuest by then. It had a red pinstripe down the side of it. And that thing, I was joking with Miss McInerney yesterday. We drove in Brother Carter's rental car, and it's a hybrid, and it stopped at the lights. I said, when I drove my car and it stopped at the stoplight, we had problems. We had to call somebody, come get us. You know what I'm talking about? It wasn't no hybrid. It was just a dead bridge. You know what I'm talking about? God is blessed because of bountiful giving. I was always trained and taught, and my family does this, and this isn't pridefully. I'm just leading you and letting you understand. And Miss Nancy's in the nursery, but she could certainly tell you, and she certainly has liberty to do this. But my family is in the top five givers in this church, and we're certainly not in the top five as far as job or finances. But I was always trained to be in the top 10 of giving, and as you could go further, to up that and to give that, to make sure to lead in the grace of giving. Because if the preacher's not happy about giving, then nobody ain't going to be happy about giving. And I'm happy about it. Praise the Lord. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You know, I could afford a bigger and nicer car. My wife could afford a newer van. But not having those things, not having car payments, allows us to give more to the thing that's more important. I could have a bigger house. I have had a bigger house. But paying off debts allowed us to give more to the thing that really matters. See, when you put it in perspective, you know why you have an assistant pastor? It's been such a blessing to have Brother Brandon here. Because when I can't get there, he can. He spent time at people's houses, things I've been wanting to do for 3 or 4 years, people's houses I wanted to get to, I haven't been able to get to, but now we're able to divide and conquer, and he's able to do those things. It's a blessing to have Sister Nancy here 2 days a week to do things in the office. The choir, we've never had more Christmas. I've got things ready for Easter. I got our Easter books. I'm ready to go. I was previewing some of the songs. I said, Christmas needs to hurry up. I'm ready for Easter. We ain't never that far ahead. I'm able to do things. I'm able to be places. You know why? Because the people of this church decide that grace of giving is important to them, and it's blessing us. We're so much more prepared and ready and organized. We call Miss Nancy the house mom, and she'll smack me and Brandon's hands when we're not doing things right. And says, no. We have a budget. She's like, y'all can't spend that this month. Dang, we can't do nothing around here. Right? We always just broke, Nancy. Why can't we have nothing? She's like, no. Y'all, youth budget's up this month. No. Me and Brandon be looking at other budgets like, what the children got? They don't need nothing, little whippersnapper. How can we get something? You know what I'm talking about? This fool over here, he got a 6-pound turkey breast for the youth. Me and Bud said, I got a 6-pound turkey. Bud said, is it still in the egg? 6-pound turkey. It was a turkey breast. He buying chicken nuggets, turkey nuggets for the kids. Because Nancy said, Don, you can't buy that big turkey. That's $50. Oh, dang. So we just get the turkey nugget, I guess. I don't know. Well, we got a little bit of money in the budget. But listen, we understand that we don't rob God. Number two, give bubbly for blessings. Give bubbly for blessings. I'm not talking about alcohol. I mean, be bubbly about it. Be bubbly about, give bubbly for blessings. Be excited about it. 2 Corinthians 9:7 in our text, it said, but God loveth a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. Be excited about giving to the Lord. Be excited like the little boy that watched the black's dog. Be excited, not about what you can get from God, but what you can give. He said, I don't need any money. I love taking care of dogs. I'll pay you to let me do it. Isn't that awesome? In reality, the amount of hours that a pastor works, really, I'm not getting paid to be a pastor. I'm paying to be a pastor. Really. If you really break down the amount of hours Brandon and I work, if you really break it down, and this isn't a complaint, this is because we love it. If you really break it down, we make about $3 an hour. It's true. If you really break it down, we make a little more than that. But still, God says he loves a cheerful giver. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It was used regularly in the church, that word, and it's a rare instance in the Bible where if you have a red letter edition, Jesus is speaking, but Jesus is never quoted as saying that in the canon of Scripture. You'll not find in the Old Testament or the New Testament that is a saying, it's quoted, but they used it often according to Clement. They used that often. The early church leaders used that proverb that's not actually Scripture, and what Jesus said often, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And the reason why is because those new Christians, those new folks, and some of them came from lifestyles. Think about Paul, and they had careers, and they had money, and they were coming in, and they were holding back the things they had because they had been in a situation where they had lots of people that were poor. And remember, this is no different than our day. Remember the beautiful gate, people that are there? There's a whole line of people that are begging for just some money or some cash. They're out there, they're begging. And the rich people were walking by and clutching their purses and their wallets and saying no. And Jesus is saying, but not so in the church. We give. Listen, in our church, Brother Bud has a beautiful heart, and he's always like, can we help somebody out? And what happens 99% of the time when you say that? What do I say? It's already taken care of, Bud. Pastoral confidence. I know what's going on. I never bring it up to anybody else. We don't have to take up a special offering. It's in the bank, and somebody in our church has a need of something, and they let me know, and I'll check in from time to time and say, are you good? And it's just here. Well, bless you. We don't need to have a soup kitchen or a clothing pantry, because if somebody in this church needs food or needs clothes, they don't have to ask any questions. Be done. Now, they might say I'm a mean miser because people from outside of the church will call and say, well, can I get this or can I get my electric bill? No, because this is reserved for the people of God inside the walls of God, the family of God. I may help you with food, but I'm not going to pay your electric bill. I'm not going to pay your car bill. I'm not going to pay your house bill. I'll make sure that you have food. Brother Brandon and I, a man right back here, we took a whole bunch of food over to him. We gave him a ride, and we said, no, you can't. We're not going to do this, and I can't pay this. I can't pay this. And then guess what he did? He said, can you take me to the gas station so I can buy cigarettes? Well, that $20 you just spent on cigarettes was enough for food. See, it's not that everybody is like that, but my responsibility as the shepherd of this flock is to make sure that you are taken care of. And that's done through the grace of giving of the other members of the flock, the brothers and sisters of Christ. Give bubbly. Number three. Give bravely for blessings. Give bravely for blessings. Some of you are sitting there today and say, I don't have anything to give. Well, the widow lady with two mites, and her gospel was preached all throughout, or wherever the gospel is preached, she is preached. But listen, she didn't have much, and she didn't have as much as this person. But God's not asking you to give as much as the richest person. He's just asking you to give what's proportionate to you. Your 10% is different than my 10%. My 10% is different than that 10%. But he's saying, you figure out how to get your finances in order to do what you've got to do and to make sure it's good. But part of that is giving bravely. You must have faith. Philippians 4:19. You must have faith to do this. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? That's faith. You say, well, I could never tithe because we don't have enough. But I know a lot of people who don't tithe who say they can't tithe, but they got a whole lot of stuff. They got nicer stuff than I got. They say we can't, but God says, I will supply all your needs. We talked about that in our series, The Promises of God. Do you believe that God is able to provide that? Look at the next verse. See, faith is with believing. James 1:5-8. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you don't know what to do or how to get to the point where you're tithing and it's not hurting you, then ask God. Say, God, where am I spending money frivolous? Where could I get right? How could I fix this situation, God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him? But let him ask in faith. See, when you ask something in faith, that means you believe that God can do it, because faith is saying it so before it's so, because God says that it is so. You say, I don't know, Pastor, my checkbook says we can't tithe. Well, the word of God says you can. You miss a week, you're on vacation, you don't get to skip tithing. Come on. You weren't here last week because you were sick. You better make up for it and do double. Because I didn't read the verse, but back in Malachi, the Bible says, guarding your hearts and homes, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he won't eat up all your fruit, paraphrasing. All your stuff that you think, you always going to be broke or always looking for money or always trying to have some harebrained scheme to keep up until you start giving to the Lord like you're supposed to. Amen. It's always going to happen. Trust me. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He says, not doubting. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. James continues to say, for let not that man think that they shall receive anything of the Lord. If you don't have faith enough to believe that you can do and give your 10%, God says, then you shouldn't be thinking that you're going to get anything from the Lord because you don't have faith in him. The same faith that requires for you to want to ask God to heal you from a sickness is the same faith it takes to give to God. That faith hasn't changed. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It says, you're messed up everywhere. I ask you this morning, do you appreciate God? Giving is a blessing. It's not a curse, it's a blessing. It's not a burden, it's a blessing. Do you want him to know that you appreciate him? God says, I'm telling you that this is the way we do it. See, in 1857, there was an old slave man, Alex Parker. Old Alexander Parker, he had five sons and a wife. And when the Underground Railroad, the abolitionists and those freedom fighters came to carry them home to freedom, they were down Tennessee Way. They were coming up through Kentucky to the Ohio River into Ohio. And when the abolitionists came in the boat, they had but a small John boat. And when they met from two different streams, another family had met there, and Alexander and the six, seven people in his family, and this other family had three children and the mom and the dad. And when they came, the abolitionists only had two small boats, and there wasn't room for everyone. But this man on this side had but one son and two daughters, and Alexander having five sons, one just a small infant. Alexander said to the other man, I've been blessed with five sons. And the one person could not go on the boat. They had room for everyone but one person. And Alexander said, I'll stay because my five sons surely, with your one son, my five sons shall surely go and have wives and make seed and continue my legacy and my generation and my family name will live on and my family name will continue on. And so Alexander stayed behind and he was soon after caught by his master and executed and put to death. But the truth of that story is that all five of those sons made it to freedom. And they all bore sons of their own who were born free men who continued on. And one of those young men, one of those grandsons of Alexander's, grew up to be one of the very first black school teachers in the United States of America. Then he educated many other children throughout time, and that lineage lives on. What I'm saying is he understood that to give himself was a sacrifice so that others might be blessed. And though he didn't see it this side of heaven, should he have been a saved man, his legacy continued and he was more blessed throughout the generations than had his one body, his life, been spared. But instead, five sons, at least one son apiece, that's 10 people's lives that were changed. Now we've seen lives changed and having this school teacher. And so what I'm saying to you is this, giving is a grace. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I want you to know your pastor's not up here begging you for money. No, I'm protecting your heart and your home by telling you what God says. I've used scripture to back up and verify everything that I've said this morning. Again, I say it all the time. I'll say it again. If you're mad because I'm speaking about tithing, about money, you're not mad at me. You're mad at God. Jesus spoke more about money than any other topic in the entire New Testament. Did you know that? So, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, giving is a blessing. I would ask every single person in this room today, is giving a blessing to you? Are you faithful to God in your tithes? 10%, not 3%, not 5%, 10% tithe. Are you robbing God? Where is it that you need to step up? Maybe you are doing 10%, but you could do more. You could give to buildings and to missions. I'll be honest with you. We don't cover our missions budget every month. We have to give out of the general fund to cover our missionary spending. Maybe you could up that today. Once a year, we just want to bring it back together. Today, as the music begins to play, I want the Christian to remember that giving is a blessing. But there may be someone here today that doesn't understand the sacrificial giving of the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for you, the blood of Jesus. And to understand giving, you must first understand that God gave his only begotten Son. And that only begotten Son's name is Jesus. And he gave his physical body, he gave his life so that you and I could be blessed, justified, saved through his blood. If you're here today listening online, say, Pastor Bryson, I don't know. I didn't never hear that Jesus gave his life to pay for my sin. I don't know what that means, and I want you to hear this and hear it clearly. What I'm about to tell you is what we call the gospel, and it means good news. It's hard to understand because the gospel means the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's hard to think that anybody's death could be good news, but praise be to God that the death of Jesus, his crucifixion killed my sin, that his burial buried it to where he doesn't have to live by a law. He doesn't have to live by rules or religion. He lives by a relationship because he buried your sin so far away that it will never be remembered again. Oh, and praise be to God, he didn't stay in the grave, but he had victory over death, hell, and the grave, and he's risen, and he lives today. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can give under this grace. I can live under this grace. I can be blessed. I can be saved and know it and never fear of going to a devil's hell, but that I know that when I die, I'll wake up in heaven with Jesus Christ. So today, if you say, I don't have that peace, that comfort, I don't know 100% sure that when I die, I would go to heaven. I don't care if you are the oldest person or the youngest person. Hear this. The Bible says there's two things you must do and understand. You must understand you're a sinner, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we've all made mistakes. And because of that, we need to repent and turn away from sin, have our minds changed and fixed on Jesus. And then you must believe the gospel. You must truly believe that Jesus did die on that cross, that he was buried, that he did raise again according to the scriptures the third day, and that he's coming back with life and liberty to all who believe. If you can repent and believe today, you can be saved. How? By simply calling upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not by what you have done, but what he did and what you accept about that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, you say, Pastor Bryson, I need to be saved. I didn't fully understand it, but I do now. Would you just lift your head right up here to me, your eyes, catch my eyes, that I might see and pray for you. I'm not going to come to your seat or ask you any questions this morning. I'm just going to pray for you in the silence of the room. Anybody like that today at all? Youngest to the oldest. Anyone here at all like that? If you're online today and that's you, please contact us and we'll show you. To the Christian, it's not a mission of guilt if you come to the altar this morning. There may be prayer needs you have outside of giving. There's lots of people in our church that are sick today. Lots of people that are hurting. The altar is the appropriate place and time to come and put your face to the ground and ask Jesus to heal them, to save them. Or if their church won't pray for them, who will? Maybe you are a faithful giver, but you want to pray that other people would become faithful in giving. Maybe you're not. Maybe you need to pray and say, God, give me wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, it says, let him ask it of God. Asking in faith. My prayer is this, that you would have a soft heart, a tender heart. No one's judging you. No one knows what you're going to pray about. I've told you, I tithe, and I'm going to be right here at this altar praying this morning. I don't care what you come for, but let's do business with the Lord this morning. As God would have his way and will with this invitation, as Brother Chuck begins to sing, let's stand and you all come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join in singing, Nearer to the Heart of God. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
We're going to take this next verse. People are praying all over. Let's stay in the attitude of prayer. If you're here this morning, next week is our day of thanks. We want every regular attender and member, we want everybody to get healthy and be here for every service. We start with continental breakfast next week at 8:15, but listen to me. If you're here, especially if you're someone who is from a Baptist background and all you have to do is walk this aisle and join Assurance Baptist Church, it's biblical that you're a member of a church. Don't wait around. Just come on. This next verse is for you. You just come. If you need to be scripturally baptized, you come on. Let's get this thing settled right now so that you can be a part, a full member of this church, because that is what we do. That's what we believe. It's a Baptist distinctive. Part of the family of God when you're saved, but then a part of the church family. So let's take this next verse, heads bowed, eyes closed, and you come today and you join this church. If all you need to do is walk, if you need to be baptized, let's get it settled.
There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent
from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Well, praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. We'll have our gentlemen come to receive the morning offering. But we are glad this morning. Our dear friend, Sister Sharon Bishop, has come this morning to join Assurance Baptist Church. Amen. Yes, yes. You did it again. We didn't vote, and you're already clapping. Now, I know Miss Sharon's a great lady. I know she's coming from Inglewood First Baptist, but I also know that you got to vote first. So stop clapping, because Don might say no. Miss Don might say, I don't like that. All right? All in favor of accepting Sharon into the fellowship and membership of Assurance Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
So let it be done. Praise the Lord. You get around and greet Miss Sharon as you leave today. She's been coming for a year now. Such a blessing to me and to our church, but just so you know that. Well, let's pray for the morning offering. We've got some good-looking young men up here today. Good looking. I like that. Yeah. A couple of them look like me, Levi. You know what I'm talking about? Now listen. They got their good looks from daddy, but you from mama. You know what I'm talking about? And listen, never get me and your dad's haircut either, all right? Keep that hair, baby. Keep that hair. God love them. All right, good youth men up here tonight, this morning. They had a great youth outing, man. Over 20 folks here, so good job, Brother Brandon, youth group, everybody that helped with that. Appreciate you. We're so thankful. I want to thank Brother Dan Patrick before. It's thankful season. He put a nice toolkit, knew a guy out in Brookville. Our shed is all cleaned out. The men worked on that, our little shed. Everything's cleaned out. He got us a nice toolkit, probably a $1,200, $1,300 set of stuff for $300. And so my brother Dan, he's good at haggling, you know what I mean? So appreciate you, Brother Dan, on that. Everybody that, Brother Bud, thanks for coming back and help clean after the youth event. Everybody that chipped in, all you folks that are always here cleaning, the Fortunatos, the Patricks, the Cunninghams, Ruby, Kitty, all you folks that, I'm probably missing people, sorry, I don't mean to, but everybody that just comes in here and cleans the building, keeps it looking so nice, thank you for what you do. Brother Chuck comes and cleans. Appreciate you guys. Such a blessing to us. I thanked the Sunday school teachers last week, and I wanted to just thank some of you folks, and then all the other little things. Thank you, Miss Michelle, for being our realtor and always being able to help us cook and do whatever. And then I got something, again, special for the nursery workers, and so thankful for them. And we are just so glad and so blessed by you all, okay? Let's pray for the morning offering, and you give cheerfully. All right, because it's a blessing to the Lord as he's blessed you. Father God, we thank you for this day that you have given us. Lord, we ask now that you would bless this offering, that we would have cheerful hearts in giving to you, because it is a blessing. Let us give bountifully. Lord, let us remember today that, oh, it's a blessing, so let us give bubbly. Lord, let us remember that we give bravely, even when we think we can't. Lord, your word says that your grace aboundeth. Father, we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you.
If you guys didn't get a bulletin, make sure you get one on your way out. I just have a couple announcements for you. The first one is we're doing a canned food drive. So beginning November 27th and going till the end of December, we're going to be collecting non-perishable food items for Northmont Fish, something we've done before, but that'll be starting up the end of this month. The other one is the November ladies meeting. So November 15th at 6:30 here at the church, there is a ladies meeting. Miss Cynthia will be doing the devotion for you guys, so you want to make sure you're here for that. The other one is, just remember, preacher already mentioned it, but our day of thanks next week, remember what you're supposed to bring. So if your last name's A through L, you're supposed to bring a side dish, and then M through Z are desserts. So make sure you guys do that next week. And then right after this morning service, if you guys work in a children's ministry other than Awana, Awana has their own meetings, but if you work in any children's ministry other than Awana, so nursery, Sunday school, junior church, We have a meeting following the morning service in the youth room. Or if you're interested in starting to work in one of those ministries, that meeting's for you too. So we have that, and then Brother Chuck.
Please stand and join in singing our closing chorus, Jesus is the Sweetest Name I Know.
Amen. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name.